Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 23. I'll be reading verses 23 to 35, and out of reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. He summoned two of his centurions and said, "Get 200 soldiers ready with 70 cavalry and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Also provide mounts for Paul to ride and bring him safely to Felix the governor." He wrote the following letter: "Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. When this man had been seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them, I arrived with my troops and rescued him, because I learned that he is a Roman citizen. Wanting to know the charge they were accusing him of, I brought him down before the Sanhedrin. I found out that the accusations were concerning questions of their law, and that there was no charge that merited death or imprisonment. When I was informed that there was a plot against this man, I sent him to you right away. I also ordered his accusers to state their case against him in your presence. So the soldiers took Paul during the night and brought him to Antipatris, as they were ordered. The next day they returned to the barracks, allowing the cavalry to go on with him. When these men entered Caesarea and delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. After he read it, he asked what province he was from. When he learned he was from Cilicia, he said, 'I will give you a hearing whenever your accusers also get here.' He ordered that he be kept under guard in Herod's palace." You may be seated. We were looking at earlier in the chapter about Paul being taken, and he had been given a message in the middle of the night from God after he was almost killed by the mob and the Roman soldiers rescued him. God told him, just like you defended and presented the truth before the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, you're also going to present the truth in Rome. So God's told him, "I'm not done with you yet. You have a mission in Rome." Now, Paul had wanted to go to Rome. I don't think he wanted to go as a prisoner, but God has directed his path. He's going to head to Rome. So Paul knows that God says, "What's next?" But the next morning, some people that didn't like Paul's message of grace to the Gentiles and grace through the blood of Jesus Christ conspired to assassinate Paul. They met in the morning, but God has already given Paul his instructions the night before that everything's going to be okay. You're going to testify about me in Rome. Well, they bound themselves, these assassins, to a curse. They didn't want the truth of Jesus Christ to be heard. And the same is true today. Everyone that rejects the message of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin through his blood is under a curse. All they have to look forward to is eternity in hell. Now, someone said, and I like how they said it, if you're a Christian, the life you have right here on earth is as bad as it ever gets. If you're not a Christian, this is as good as it ever gets. Well, these assassins went to the religious leaders in Jerusalem, and the religious leaders agreed to be part of the plot to assassinate Paul, to lie about things so that they could get their way instead of allowing God's way to be done. There are a lot of people in our world today that are trying to lie about what the truth is about many things, specifically about what God says is right and wrong, and they're trying to present their own position, and they're willing to lie and conspire. But The plans of men are not hidden from the eyes of God. Paul's nephew, now we don't know where he was or why or how he overheard about this plot, but he did. And he goes and tells Paul, who has the young man go to the commander that's over Paul's, over Roman soldiers in Jerusalem. The young man, and the young man, the term in Greek could be anywhere from a teenager up to 30. And he tells the commander, there's a plot to assassinate Paul. They're going to pretend like they want you to bring him down for questioning, but they're going to ambush him. And the commander says, don't tell anybody else about this. And then the commander takes action. That's where we come to today's passage. He didn't wait till the next morning. He took immediate action. Now, David has been helping me with doing my job working on computers at school, and we had to do this thing called re-imaging a computer. Well, one thing you got to do, you got to push a key within a few 5 seconds, I believe, or you can't proceed. You got to start all over again. It's a limited time offer. If you don't get the correct key punched within that 5 seconds, you can't proceed with what you're wanting to do on these computers. Also, there's other things like we recently got a purchase, did a Black Friday purchase. If we didn't get it that day, and I think it was just a few hours we had left to place the order, we would have had to pay much more for the same item. So there's a lot of people that do things. Now, if you're wanting a $6,000 mattress, I think Mattress Mac, will, this year he's going to give you back double your money if you buy a mattress over $6,000 and the Astros win it all. Every time he says something like that, I go, why would anybody pay $6,000 for a mattress? So you can get $12,000 back, maybe. But it also explains how he can give you your money back if you're paying $6,000 for a mattress. Yeah, because there's a lot of markup on a mattress. I can't think of anything. Even if it was made out of gold, it wouldn't be comfortable to lay on. But y'all might know a better idea why a mattress is $6,000. But the commander knew he had a limited time offer. If he didn't take action, there were going to be people trying to assassinate Paul one way or another. So Paul arranged for 200 soldiers plus spearmen, cavalry, to take Paul out of town that night. And it says in the letter, all right, they're going to take him all the way to Caesarea, but they only took him as far as Antipas. Now you go, wait a minute. Weren't they told to take him all the way? Well, they were only, some of them were going all the way. Others were going part of the way. In World War II, they had soldiers that were flown in on gliders. D-Day invasion of France, they had planes that towed these gliders full of soldiers. And the planes that towed the gliders went partway, and they released the glider, and the glider went in the rest of the way, and that plane went back to do more work. The gliders kept going. They still had work to do. Well, some of the soldiers, their job was just to get Paul 35 miles away from Jerusalem. And you might go, how can they go 35 miles on foot just in the middle of the night? Well, there was a road, a Roman road that led from Jerusalem down to Antipas, and it was all downhill. And Roman soldiers have been known to go a lot further than that. Then the next day they headed back, but now it's going to be uphill. So it might take a little bit longer to get back to Jerusalem. And the cavalry went with Paul down to Caesarea. They still had a mission to do. In our video we looked at, the missionary thought her work was done in one place and was going to another, but now coming back because God had more work to be done. Well, Paul comes before the governor, and the order, the letter from Claudius Lysias, the commander of the Roman forces in Jerusalem, is given to him. And Felix reads the letter and begins initial inquiry. Do I have jurisdiction to deal with your case? Roman citizens and the Roman provinces were divided up into certain areas. And since Paul was being tried as a Roman citizen, the person presiding over the trial had to have authority. So he said, Paul, where are you from? He said, I'm from Cilicia. And Felix had jurisdiction to hear a trial of a Roman citizen from Cilicia. So he said, I'll hear your case as soon as your accusers come. God had a person in place to hear the case. God had a commander in place, not necessarily a Christian. We know he's not a Christian at this point. We might see Claudius Lysias in heaven. We don't know. But God will use people, regardless of whether they're Christians or not, to accomplish his plan. And God has a plan. He has a plan for the message of Jesus Christ's forgiveness to go all the way to Rome. And Paul knows that his mission is not over, at least until he gets to Rome. It might be over then, or it might go on even further. We don't know. Paul didn't know, but he knew God because God had told him. Well, we have a mission from God. We are to tell the same truth that Paul was telling. And there are people that are going to oppose our message just like they opposed Paul. There are people that are trying in our country today to remove any message of Jesus Christ and to remove any ability for someone to say, I don't believe the same way you do. I believe what the scripture says. There are people trying to prosecute people that hold to the truth of their religious beliefs. Now, it doesn't matter what happens on earth. What matters is what happens when we stand before God on Judgment Day. And there's only one way to hear from Jesus. Enter into heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that is by having our sins forgiven. And there's only one way. And that's through faith in the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to tell that to others. Don't forget, in this holiday season, to ask people, what's the holiday? What are we celebrating? And if you don't know, let me tell you about it. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for this time we could be here. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the example of Paul. Let us be a light to all we encounter. In Jesus' name, amen.